Thankful to be with you again after it's been such a long time since I've been with y'all. Thankful for Brother Chris for inviting me and my family down. I'm sorry they weren't able to make it. And after I tell them all the fun that we've had down here, I'm sure they will be sorry as well. But thank Brother Chris for asking you to remember my son in your prayers. My wife and my daughter as well. I thought, Brother Chris, you were going to step on my scriptural toes here for a second there. I love that statement of Christ, "Peace, be still." I think that, I know now that the Lord has a specific message for you folks here at Little Union Church tonight. Best way I know to frame this initially is to frame it in the realm of technology. There is all sorts of technology these days that make our lives easier, seemingly. Laptops sure are handy. Now they make tablet computers. Shortly, as we were in the song service, I had a thought run across my mind and didn't know where to find it in Scripture, and was able to take my phone and my Blue Letter Bible app and find exactly what I was looking for right there on my phone. Remember the first time I got a phone, I thought, sure, this sure is going to make my life a whole lot easier. Y'all remember when desktop home PCs came out? That was sure going to make life a lot easier. I can keep up with my bills online. I can keep up with my finances on this computer. I can do all this wonderful stuff. I imagine that I remember years ago when my parents got their first fax machine. It had that roll of paper, and if it got in there just a little wrong, it would mess up. That sure made life a lot easier for two people who were deaf. Their friends could now write them a letter and fax it to them. Made their life a whole lot easier. I remember, I told somebody the other day, I took Highway 19 from Tallahassee over through Perry and down through west of 75, down through Florida to Crystal River and cut across. And I liked those old four-lane highways. To me, that's what traveling was about. I took a four-lane highway into Birmingham, Highway 78, growing up, and lived right off of it. To some of you, those old highways were those two-lane highways that still go through the old town that they've put on the National Historic Records. Those were the old town. Those cars sure made a difference in our lives, made traveling, getting around a whole lot easier. Airplanes put other countries and other continents in our backyards. It was now as easy for me to travel to Europe as it was for me to travel from here to Mississippi in a car. Imagine the wheel was a pretty popular invention when it came along. Probably made life a lot easier. Fire probably made life a lot easier. One of the things that I found in roughly about 2000, when I purchased my first personal cell phone, was that for a short period it did make my life easier. But when this thing expanded out, what I continued to do was pack more and more into a single day and became busier and busier. You walk into any, you go find any public place and you're going to see folks doing this. Go to the mall. Go anywhere. You're going to see folks focusing and trying to keep themselves busy. Every one of these innovations, inventions that I've mentioned have been fantastic in my life. But they've made me more busy. What I want to bring 2012 to a year, as a year to a close on, and open up 2013 with, is the idea of being still. That's where I thought you were going with that, brother. The idea of being still. Psalm, the 46th Psalm, in verse 10, David says, "Be still and know that I am God." Christ, as he arose from his slumber. And I love, you see that story. You see this story of men on a ship and this storm coming about and this catastrophe about to happen. You see it happen over and over and over again in Scripture, don't you? In some cases, in Jonah's case, the Lord caused the storm to start happening. He wakes from his slumber and he looks out at the storm and he says, "Peace, be still." That's a strong commandment. And it was a strong commandment to a strong storm. He says, "Peace, be still." You know what that storm did? It went still. The Lord is telling us here, be still and know that I am God. There's not a whole lot of other things that I would rather preach on and that I would rather talk to people about and to talk to the Lord's people about than getting up and moving and doing and serving others and following in the footsteps of the apostles and the disciples and going out and moving in God's world. There's not a whole lot of other things I'd like to talk to our folks about. And I came to this realization as this year wound to a close. We get way too busy with our lives. A lot of y'all work. Some of y'all go to school. You're going to go home this evening, some of you that aren't staying here. You're going to go home, and this is what you do if you're me. You get comfortable. You sit down in your recliner, or your sofa, or your favorite chair, and you reach over. You don't even have to look, right? You reach over and you grab for something. And you do that, right? You don't have to look where it's at. And if it happens to not be there, you look to see if it's an inch or two off. And if it's not there, everything stops until you find the remote control. I lost one in my house for 2 months. When I was a child, I was the remote control. Y'all remember that? With the vice grips on the tuner? That's what we do. You don't believe me? When you get in your cars to leave here, you know what's going to be? You know what you're going to hear? The radio. And you know what's going to happen if a commercial comes on that radio? I've got the buttons on my steering wheel now, so I can be safe while I'm busy. We stay busy. We fill our lives with this stuff that in and of itself may seem harmless, but when it fills our life to a point where we cannot do what the Lord commands us to do, and that is to be still and know that I am God, it's too much. It's just too much. There's too much going on in our lives. 2012, think of the top news stories of the year. We had a big story happen a couple of weeks ago. We had the election. We've got this. We've got that. We're not just filling our lives with this busyness. We're filling our minds with this busyness. God says to be still. He gives us kind of the same answer in Psalm 4:4, in the fourth Psalm, verse 4. He says, that's not verse chapter 4, that's 19. Verse 4, he says, "Stand in awe and sin not." You want to know how to be still and know that I am God? Stand in awe and sin not. That's what you ought to be doing. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and do what? Be still. Selah, he says. He's told us twice here that we need to be still. We need to remove from our hearts, we need to move from our minds these things of the world that keep us busy, that keep us going. Because if we just sit there with nothing going on, my, how can anybody do that these days? How can I do that? Why do y'all know me? There's opening a conversation. I'm going to try to find my way in. We need to be still. And I believe, Brother Chris, that that commandment there is as strong as a commandment to you and to me and to God's people as it was to that storm. Well, if that storm is apt to obey your Lord, my Lord, what ought we to do? That storm has not been purchased for eternity. You have. I have. That storm didn't have its sins paid for on the cross by the blood of Jesus Christ. You did. I did. I believe we ought to take heed when he says, be still. And he says, and know. For the last few weeks, I've been attempting to talk to our folks about God. Okay, that's what we always do at church, right? Big deal. It is a big deal. One of the greatest pursuits that you and I can have is to know more about God.
Amen.
It's good to know about election. It's fantastic to know about predestination. It's good to know that I don't have a hand in it. That's all fantastic. I love to hear it. What I want to know about and what you ought to want to know about is your God. The one that did this for you. The one that did that for me. The one that has enough grace and mercy and love for me to cover all of my indiscretions. All of my iniquities, all of my faults, all of my failures, to cover them all. That one. How do we know that He is God? One way we have is the preaching of the gospel. You have a blessed man here in Elder Chris Krause to preach the gospel to you. And getting to know more and more about Chris Krause, the more and more I know that he expects you to be here on a Sunday morning. I expect you to be here on a Sunday morning, unless you're a member of another church. Brother Chris expects you to be here on Sunday morning. These other brothers and sisters that are members of your bodies, they expect you to be there on Sunday morning. But most importantly, God expects you to be there on Sunday. He expects you to be there so that you have the ability to know God. Preaching is one of the tools He used to do that. How else can you know God? By reading His Word. This is the revelation of God to you. It's what God wants you to know. Folks who get in debates about the secret will of God and this and that, I don't care. Here's what God wants me to know. It's in here. Just got to read it. I love out front, there's the January reading schedule for you all to be able to read through the Bible in 1 year. It's 5 chapters a day, I think, is what it amounts to. It's 5 chapters a day. 20 minutes, something like that. I want you to think about this. I had a dear brother that most of you know that told me the other day. He said, people just aren't giving. He said, I saw a brother lay a $1 bill on the table after service, and he went out and spent $50 on lunch. Okay, I'm not going to tell you to give tonight. It's not about money, so don't start picking up things to throw. How much time did you give to the service this Sunday morning? I don't mean being here. Did y'all have lunch this past Sunday? Some of you spent hours cooking lunch. And I'm glad that you do. Nobody's gladder than me. Spend hours. Whether it be Saturday night or Sunday morning, you spend time fixing lunch. Some of you spend a lot of time getting ready, getting dressed. Getting your children dressed, preparing for church. Some of you give of your time to come up here and make sure that the church is clean, make sure that things are in order, to make sure the air's on, to make sure the heat's on, to make sure it's comfortable, to make sure that you greet any visitors to get there early, and you're giving of your time to do that. Brothers and sisters, sometimes I think we can get busy with church. If you find yourself spending more time preparing for the busy part of church as opposed to the preaching and the tools that God has given you to know God, then we can make ourselves too busy. We can make ourselves too busy. There's a song in a lot of primitive Baptist hymn books that says, religion is the chief concern. I wish they would. I can't read past the title of that. My concern tonight, brothers and sisters, is God. And what I want you and your children and your friends and your family to know about is God. Preaching's a tool. The Word of God that we have in writing is a tool. You all are tools. When you can look, we had a dear lady at McClintic Church had breast cancer and was having surgery. And went to visit her before surgery and pray with her. And she was as happy and as upbeat and as positive as any person I ever met getting ready to go into major surgery for a pretty serious cancer. When I looked at her, before we even spoke, I looked at her and I said, that's the way a child of God ought to look. And only a child of God can have that gleam in their eye when they're going into such a storm. Only a child of God can have that. There's a peace, there's a comfort, that a joy that only you and I can have, and the world cannot have it. I don't care how hard they try. The way that we can find that is by being still. I drive, especially on these trips. You know, you're traveling 2.5 to preach a church here, or coming down here, going there, or whatever. Going to Alabama for Christmas. You've all found yourself in the situation. When you drive, and you're driving, and all of a sudden you've gone a few miles, and you don't know anything that you've passed. You've been focused on those dotted lines on the road ahead. Or you've been focused on the taillights in the car ahead, and you don't know anything that's happened in the last 5 minutes. I've done that through downtown Jacksonville, where I'm so focused on what's ahead of me, all of this other stuff becomes a blur. That's what God expects of you. He expects you to focus so intently on Him and His glory and to stand in awe and sin not. He expects you to do that. Focus on Him. And when you do, everything else can become a blur. All those problems that you have, all those troubles that I have, all those toils that I have, all of this stuff that's going on in my life, in your life, in your friend's life, in your family's life, in your brethren's life, and all of that stuff, when we focus on the Lord, if not for just a brief moment, can become a blur to you. We ask the Lord to take it away, don't we? We ask the Lord, remove me from this storm, or remove this storm from me. Sometimes He wants you to look at Him, and when you do, you'll remove it from your mind, from the emotional state that you're in. Yeah, Brother Silas, that's the Psalms. It says stuff like that. I'll tell you what Paul thought about that. Paul, in chapter 4, is writing in the church of Philippi. And he's going through some general exhortations to the church at Philippi. And he gets down to verse 6. And he says something that in just reading it in modern language, you read it and you go, what? He says, be careful for nothing. Y'all remember what was talked about in Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6, long about verse 25. Christ exhorts them, don't worry about your food, don't worry about your clothing, don't worry about what you're to drink. The Lord's going to take care of you. He takes grass, he cares for the grass of the field, He cares for the animals. They're not, somebody. I heard somebody say the other day that animals, they just don't plan very well. They just do. That's what makes them animals. They're intuitive creatures. He says, don't worry about those things. You have a God that's going to take care of you.
Amen.
You have a God that's going to take care of your family. A lot of times we look at that, it's not taking care of me the way I want to be taken care of. That's not what I want. Well, that's not the point. He didn't say, be still and know that you are God. He said, be still and know that I am God. He says, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, the path that passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You have troubles? Mind bothering you? You lay down your head at night and it's hard for you to go to sleep? Y'all, I've got a 6-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 or 15 or 20 years in this world, or in this state, or this country. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know that when I get in my van and I drive home, that I may not make it there and see them. I don't know that. What I do know is that I have a God that can clear me of that mindset. Amen. He can clear you of that mindset. He's there for you. He's there for all of His children. Let me tell you what it looks like when you be still and you focus on God. Paul says it here in verse 8. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. When you shut it off, when you turn off the data that is streaming around in your mind, when you cut it off, and I don't mean mute it so you can still see the visuals. I mean when you cut it off and you focus on God, what you're seeing is truth. What you're seeing is purity. What you're seeing is love. What you're seeing is of good report. What you're seeing is honest. That's what you're seeing. Brethren, our lives are so busy. Our churches are so busy. Our children are busy. Soccer practice, back to basketball practice, AR reading at school, of the this and the that, and work and this. It's all over the place. Text, absolutely. Turn it off, put it down. You know how busy I am? Sometimes I go to sleep listening to preaching. You know how hard it is to go to sleep listening to Sonny Piles? I said Sonny Piles specifically because I didn't want any of the other preachers to get feelings hurt. You know how hard that is? I need to learn and I need to listen to preaching, but sometimes I just need to shut it off. I bet I'd have a lot more peace if I focused on God instead of what Sonny Piles was saying. Or any other preacher. There are times for that. There are times for that. I would encourage you, as you close this year, as we go forward, that you find some time in your life and that you and I set aside some specific time. I understand things happen. But my encouragement to you is to set aside a specific time of the day, if nothing else. If you have to be organized, you got so much stuff that you don't have 5 minutes to think about God and to look at Him in glory and awe and fall to your knees. That's what I'm talking about. I hear church services where people would fall to their knees, where you could hear amens from hundreds of yards away. That doesn't just have to happen in the church house, brothers. That can happen in your homes. That can happen in your closets. That can happen every day. And I would encourage you to heed the command that wind did, and have peace in your life, and be still and know that I am God. Amen. You could spend all that time for the rest of your life just thinking about those words, I am, couldn't you, Brother Chris? One of my favorite lines is, "He is, we merely exist." He is because He does not change. That's why He is. You and I are changing right now, minute by minute, second by second. Something about us is changing. I hope I've changed some of your minds since you've been sitting here tonight about your perception of God. You can spend all your life thinking on "I am." But I want to encourage you to look at God for who He is. Because that word "still," and I'm going to close with this. You know how I know Paul was a primitive Baptist preacher, by the way? Verse 8, he says, "finally." Then he goes on to verse 23. With some pretty incredible stuff, mind you. That word "still" is translated in other parts of Scripture. Rapha is the word in the Hebrew. It's translated in other parts of the Scripture "feeble," "fail," "falling." It was used in some negative context for the lazy Jews, the ones of them that weren't moving. It was used negatively in those contexts. It was used positively in context of losing yourself, failing your flesh. That's what he's talking about there. Because you know what happens when you fall your flesh? The smaller that you become, the bigger your God gets. Not in who He is, but in how you and I perceive Him and how we view Him. He's as big as it gets anyway. We serve a great God who measures the islands as a drop of a bucket. You got any questions about it? You have trouble trying to focus on what am I going to focus on? Focus on Isaiah 40. It'll tell you all about it. That'll tell you how big your God is and my God. And I pray that be the God that we would serve through our lives, and that we would take the opportunity to act by not acting. And God bless you. So pray.
Amen. Amen.